Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score. Jabari Parker is a Chicago Bull, and he is in our studio. You'll hear from the Bulls' new forward later on Sports Talk Live. Yu Darvish was talked about not very flatteringly by Alex Rodriguez, Rick Sutcliffe, Tim Kirkjian. Is this whole signing now a complete debacle? We'll get into all of it. And Roquan Smith, still not in camp, and he's now the only holdout left from the National Football League draft. We will discuss. And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan. Hope you had a really good day. Let's meet the panel for today's show. From The Score, it is the Mully and Haw show now in the mornings. And he writes for the Tribune. He is our guy, David Haw. And from the Chicago Tribune, their great Bulls beat writer and NBA insider, he's the one and only KC Johnson. Okay, let's get started with a little bit of baseball. Yesterday, Alex Rodriguez was doing Sunday Night Baseball with Jessica Mendoza and Matt Vasgersian, and he had some comments, very pointed comments, on Cubs pitcher Yu Darvish. Take a listen.
This is very, very exciting for the entire organization and for that guy right there, Joe Maddon, who can forecast, you know, Lester, Hendricks, and now Cole Hamels. And it's been a very sobering year with the debacle of the start of Yu Darvish, who's been devastating. I mean, a guy to start a six-year contract for three of the worst months you can ever see. I mean, I know he threw a 10-pitch bullpen, then a 16-pitch bullpen, and then he said his arm was hurting. And it's gotten so bad around, now they won't say this publicly, but it's gotten so bad, they let him basically police and take control of his own rehab, which is scary because they don't want to create anything that he can kind of push back against. So he'll let the team know when he's ready, which, let me just tell you what that means to a clubhouse. You lose respect quickly. And my concern for him, because he's a great young talent, is it may take 2 or 3 or 4 years. You may never get that back. The other side of that is Chatwood, Tyler, who's actually struggled, but has gone out there, he's posted.
Puts his neck out there every start. No one, he doesn't have his best stuff.
Exact, Jess, and he gets beat down, but gets back up. He takes a punch and gets back up, and you'll never see players complain or whine about a guy like that. They actually back him. So this is an issue that if you're Cubs Nation, you have to watch the Yu Darvish development because it's not good inside that clubhouse right now.
Wow. It's a lot to unpack there.
Yes. The first thing you unpack is it's the bottom of the eighth. It's the bottom of the eighth. And where was this earlier in the night? It's like he's burying the lead. The most compelling thing about that game was Kyle Hendricks going seven, surviving the
Excellent.
First inning. After the first inning, you're ready. Weren't you like, what's going on here? Okay. Cubs beat the Cardinals. They avoid being a sweep. And in the bottom of the eighth, he drops a bomb. From a broadcasting perspective, why did he wait so long?
I don't know why. I don't know if he got intel during the game.
That's what it occurred to me.
That would be bad. And talk about burying the lead. His last line is, things are not good in the clubhouse right now. Shouldn't have been at the front of his.
Let me tell you the problems in the Cubs clubhouse.
But, I mean, you know, he's clearly been in many clubhouses and has a...
And he has experience knowing what it's like to be not well-liked in a clubhouse.
Yes,
because
exactly.
He was suspended for 200 games.
That's why you cannot discount this, because he understands locker room dynamics.
He recognizes the vibe.
He recognizes the vibe, and he's been on probably both sides of that vibe. So,
And nothing he said is that hard to believe if you've been paying attention, and I know you have, and I know that you understand that all year, since they put him on the disabled list with the flu, there have been whispers about
his toughness
and his high maintenance this guy is. And so nothing he said is like, oh, God, that can't be right. No, it was confirmation of what you really have heard.
But then you have Cole Hamels meet the media, and he goes, "You, Darvish, is the ultimate competitor." And we're like, well, we haven't quite seen that guy, Cole.
Teammates, defending teammates.
Right.
And that's what I wrote about this, Cap, for the Tribune this afternoon. That's where this may end up being a positive for Darvish.
You're still right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm still a writer, yeah. I still type. I still got it in me. Thank you for introducing me as a writer, too, radio guy. So I think this actually could end up being a positive for Darvish. Cole Hamels defended him. The Cubs are off today, but when they ask tomorrow about every teammate, aren't they going to support this guy publicly, you think?
Let's take a listen to Joe Maddon last night, because Joe Maddon, after the game, well, he doubled down on his support of his beleaguered starting pitcher.
I totally disagree with that. I mean, everybody knows what's going on, and we know that there is an injury there. We support his recovery. Everybody in there does, and everybody in the coaching room does also throughout the organization. It's unfortunate that it was relayed that way, but that's not true.
Okay, now,
that looks like Hoiberg in February, doesn't it?
What else would you expect him to say? I expect him to say just what he said.
Right.
Everybody supports him, all of that. I can promise you that in the next 24 hours or so, they will have a team meeting, and this will all be addressed by either Theo, Jed, Joe, or the three of them together.
Will that team meeting get out? Will that get? I mean, what you say, you promise. I mean, team meetings happen all the time that media aren't privy to. Are you?
Correct.
You think that team meeting will be leaked so that it looks like, hey, we're all on board here? Or
I wouldn't be shocked if it was out.
Cap, this is Mr. Joe. This is Mr. I meet three times a year. I meet at spring training. I meet before the All-Star break, and I meet before the playoffs.
Okay,
that's Joe Maddon.
When you have Tim Kirkjian go on Waddle and Sylvie and say what he said.
Rick Sutcliffe.
Then Sutcliffe goes gone, and I don't know if you've heard all of that, but Sut said, this guy lost me when he refused to sign autographs for two kids in a wheelchair at spring training because he was going to pitch in a spring training game for two innings. He goes, are you kidding me? And now you have A-Rod?
That sounded personal a little bit with Sutcliffe.
It did.
A-Rod didn't sound personal because, as Casey pointed out, this is a guy that knows what...
Both dynamics.
Yeah. And A-Rod... You know, you don't have to like him as a broadcaster to respect his longevity in the league.
If there is a source in there, or if there's some of this feeling going on in there, it's got to get addressed. They got to clear the air in there.
Or they just provide a unified front.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's a winning culture. Cultures know how to deal and limit distraction.
Agreed.
Yep. And, I mean, they're winning without him. So they can just say, you know, he needs the time to get better. And
A-Rod went on to say they should send him to Arizona and let him do his training out there. He said, you can't have players walking in trying to get ready to beat the Cardinals on Sunday night and look at two trainers are working on you, Darvish. That's what he said.
That's the subtlety that professional athletes and the perspective to have that, you know, you understand, because you see the NBA, the NFL, if you're injured, the wrong place to be is in the clubhouse or locker room. It's not fair, but it's real. You don't want these sort of reminders.
Right. Sutcliffe said send him home. That's what he said.
But then you also then you get the story of the dynamic that, oh, he's doing his rehab away from the team. He doesn't want to be part of the team.
Yeah.
There's that storyline always. I mean, it's look, the Cubs just need to say what they've been saying, is that he's injured, he needs time to get better, and we're going to support him until he does.
Theo has been very consistent with talking about, you know, there could be a loss in translation. There could be a lot of things that, you know, are explain some of these inconsistencies in the message. The closest the Cubs have come to showing, you know, maybe a sign of no confidence in Darvish is trading for Cole Hamels. That's the most tangible proof that shows you they question whether or not he's ever going to contribute this season. Up until that point, they've been very, very
well. But
staunch.
They also had Tyler Chatwood, who he can't throw a strike to save his life. And then you've got Quintana, who they paid Mercedes prices for, and that was a freaking 69 Gremlin the other day.
No, I don't think they made the Gremlin in 69, Cap. I think the Gremlin came around 76-ish.
Yeah, whatever.
I owned an orange Gremlin, or my family did, in, I think, 1976. I don't think they were made till then.
Yeah, he's got to be.
And he's better than a Gremlin.
I mean, I would hope so, but the other day, He was flat
out. What do you have in Cole Hamels? What kind of rental is that?
Well, Cole Hamels, okay, here, and again, these are not excuses, these are just facts. Cole Hamels said to John Daniels, look, we're up the track. I'm getting no run support. I'm pitching lousy. Defense isn't great. His father's dying of terminal cancer. He said, I need to get out of here. I need a fresh start. I need to be re-energized. I've always wanted to pitch for the Cubs. And I know the Atlanta Braves went after him hard. And John Daniels said, it's Chicago. If that's what you want, I'll make it happen. And they did. Can that re-energize a guy? His velocity numbers actually are trending up. And
I mean, it matters, but it does it. I mean, you know, you weren't expecting this guy at the start of the – I mean, you didn't have this guy in your plans at the start of the year. It's really just kind of a low-risk flyer, right? I mean, it's just money, right? I mean, and a low –
It is. $5 million,
it is.
And you gave up very little. So that's what I mean. Like, does it matter? I mean, I look at it like whatever you get from Cole Hamels is a bonus for the Cubs, especially because at some point you have to believe Darvish is going to be back.
No, I don't know about that.
You think he's going to be out
possibly. I don't know. The thing is, I don't know, and I think that getting Cole Hamels tells you that the Cubs don't know.
Hmm.
And I think that Cole Hamels, before his first start on Wednesday, we can sit here and say a lot of things. There's a wide range of possibilities of what he's going to give you. He could be anywhere. He could go anywhere from being a bust and a guy that is as bad as he's been the last five starts to being your game three starter in the NLDS. You could see that.
No question.
Given his experience, given the way that he could, you know, come on because of this change of scenery you reference, you could see it going Lester, Hendricks, Hamels.
No question.
And wouldn't that be cool? Because then that's what you expected out of Darvish, to be a top-of-the-rotation starter that you can count on in the postseason.
Here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Will the Chicago Cubs make a major trade before tomorrow's deadline? Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote and weigh in. Will they make a major trade? I think they're trying. I just don't see what they have to give up to make said major trade.
I don't either. And I don't like the latest sort of floated idea from Ken Rosenthal, who I have a ton of respect for from The Athletic, who said that they're willing to part with Ian Happ and other maybe positions.
Well, hold on a second. If you can get...
Didn't he say that?
He did, to build a deal for a controllable starting pitcher.
Where's he getting that from?
Well, I mean, if I told you it was Chris Archer, if I told you that it was... DeGrom's pie in the sky. He's
not getting DeGrom for Ian Happ.
But if it was Chris Archer...
Okay.
You're telling me?
Well, that's a good one, Cap. That's a good one. What would you do?
Long as I knew he was healthy, because he dealt with the
Because Chris Archer's two more years of control, right?
I believe at least two more years.
Yeah.
I would probably make the deal.
Wow.
If you get Chris Archer, then you're more like I don't know, though. I would rather give up David Bodie for Chris Archer.
Yeah,
or David
Bodie.
You know,
right.
You're going to ride that wave. But Chris Archer's a guy who's not had a great year. He's kind of been a little bit disappointing.
Been injured.
But, you know, Cole Hamels has been disappointing too, and you're excited about that. I don't know. You get another starter like that, you're definitely giving up on Darvish.
All right. Still ahead on STL, one of the newest Chicago Bulls will drop by our studio. Jabari Parker drops by to talk about fulfilling his childhood dream and playing in his hometown and his idol. But coming up next, the contract language barriers keeping Roquan Smith out of training camp. So who's right in this holdout? Smith for wanting his guaranteed money protected, or the Bears who don't want to set a precedent? And will this get done before week one of the regular season? Be right back.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world. Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pac wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Back on Sports Talk Live, our postcards from camp brought to you by our great friends at David Haw's favorite spot, Buffalo Wild Wings. So far, no postcards from Roquan Smith as his holdout continues. Reports over the weekend said the disagreement is with the contractual language regarding guaranteed money and the new helmet rule. Smith's agents want to make sure the Bears will not take any fines out of that guaranteed money. Today, Ryan Pace joined me and Pat Boyle on ESPN 1000 to discuss.
For us, these are important, critical reps that are going on right now. But to get into the nitty-gritty details is just not something that, you know, we feel we should do publicly. And know, that's behind the scenes. We got a lot of respect for him, obviously, and a lot of respect for his agents. And it's a matter of just working through that. You know, the good thing is, you know, Pat, we have strong relationships with these agents. There's a number of guys on our team, the same agency. We've dealt with them on a number of deals. So, you know, it's just, you know, working through those things, you know. So, but again, to talk about anything related to contracts publicly, it's not healthy. It's not productive. But you can bet, obviously, it's important to us. I know it's important to Roquan, and we're working on it.
Here's our second Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Whose side are you on in the Roquan Smith contract standoff? Roquan or the Bears? Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Okay, the Tribune's done excellent work on this. Read a lot of stuff. Where do you guys fall on this contractual precedent-setting deal?
It's a tough one. It's complicated. I think both sides are right, and I think both sides are wrong. I initially thought that Roquan Smith should get into camp because it was everyone slided to what they're going to get paid. Then you find out what this is about. And I think on Saturday we began to learn more about the issue and the contact and wanting to protect, you know, his salary against suspensions. And you see what other teams have done. And the Bears now only are in a position where you can't win this if you're Ryan Pace. And I don't think that you can afford you have more to lose than I think your rookie does, because he's going to have a long career. You're Ryan Pace, and you've been 14-34, and you hit the reset button. You've had a very good offseason. You can't let this linger.
Agreed.
You've got to get it done, even if it's a concession, even if it's a loss.
But it's a precedent-setting concession, is it not?
Or it is.
For them.
Yeah.
Not in the league.
Right,
for
not
them.
In the league. Okay.
For them.
For them. So, yeah, that opens up for further negotiations. It's a tough one.
Because there's exceptions on both sides.
Right.
I mean, there's three plays out of 40,000 last year where this applies to. So it's a hypothetical.
One of them being Danny Trevathan.
Yeah.
Who they did not take any money from.
And so it's a good faith thing.
Right.
So Roquan Smith saying, okay, well, or the Bears saying, well, good faith. And they're saying put it in writing.
So I said to Pace, okay, here's your solution. You put in the contract because Roquan and Ryan have this good relationship. Okay, Roquan says, I trust you, Ryan, but if God forbid you get hit by a bus tomorrow or you quit or you decide to move to wherever and you're not here, how does that affect me? The next guy may not feel the same way. I said, so can't you put in the contract, if Ryan Pace leaves as the general manager, then the language Roquan wants is either in or out.
What did he say?
He said, that's a great way to look at it, but I don't want to discuss those things publicly.
And introducing a new element to Kaplan's Empire, sports agency.
There you go.
I can see you as an agent. I can see that as your next career, being as an agent. You'd like that.
I got into law school, kid.
I think that you would be that. I think that's probably a practical solution.
Can I represent you?
No.
The Morning Star?
No. I'm good. I think, though, the Bears are in a situation where, you know, they're not going to win the court of public opinion.
No
shot.
They're
not going to favor a team that's struggled as much as they have. If this were the New England Patriots, the entire tenor of the discussion would be different.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not. You're in Chicago. You got a guy that you identified day one as plug and play.
Yep.
And while I still think there's responsibility on his part to tell his agents, okay, I need to get to camp. I need to be the leader I said I'm going to be. There's an obligation they have, too, to say, okay, this isn't worth it. It's not, we understand the precedent, but it's just not worth to draw the line that deeply in the sand.
Yeah, and as a veteran of the Cedric Benson holdout in my 1 year.
That's right.
Which was the last one the Bears dealt with.
And was the longest in the league as well.
Gosh, that was a long one.
Now, but that was before the rookie slotted contracts.
Right.
That was about money.
That was a long one, too.
That was about money. This one is so unique because, obviously, now they're slotted, and it's just this – it's like – but, yeah.
And I think –
he needs to be – the Bears need to, I think, concede on this and get him into camp.
And I think the NFL Players Association had a responsibility or has a responsibility to make the team uniform. Every team deals with this in the same way. So you're not having discrepancies to how the Bills deal with it, to how the Bears deal with it. Because the Bills, Tremaine Edmonds is the guy that they excluded that language and yet maintain the right to take the money.
If the suspension is egregious.
So what's egregious? See, that's what's egregious?
For me,
No. Okay, you can give me your version. I'll give you mine. Right. He'll give you his. Whatever the language of the contract says, that's egregious. That's a definition legally
Correct.
Of it. We don't know what that is.
Right.
So there's all sorts of different layers of interpretation here that we just aren't privy to that determine how you interpret the
but
story.
But I think you make a valid point that the Players Association and the league have to come together and go, okay, we're putting this clause in and every contract has it, or every contract doesn't have it.
And they should have done it.
Should not come to, well, the Buffalo Bills GM said we don't have to, so why do I have to for that guy?
Right.
That would have to be collectively bargained, though, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So when's that up?
Well, enough. I think that, Casey, when you're dealing with something this important and this dramatic, that there's a precedent that's set for the rule, you should make an exception for the collective bargaining process.
How long does it have to be before, or are we already there? This is hurting the football team dramatically.
Dramatically would be overstating it, Cap. I think that the Bears got to camp a week before everybody else. They play Thursday night. They're inducting a linebacker into the Hall of Fame on Saturday. They shouldn't do anything that detracts from that. But the ideal time to get him in camp is Thursday. Now, if it bleeds into next week, he needs to play in 3 preseason games. He needs to play in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th preseason game. And if he can do that, then the Bears are going to be okay.
Or else Thomas Jones will take his job. Oh, wait, that's
right. Stuck in 2005.
You're aging yourself. What I would like to see have happen, I don't know if it will, you get him signed by Thursday, he is on the sideline for the Hall of Fame game with Brian
clothes.
In street clothes.
Yep.
When Brian Urlacher is going to be inducted that weekend, the heir apparent to that mantle is there. It's just the whole narrative.
Storybook storyline.
It is.
But this
becomes reality.
Yeah. But this is about something bigger than that. That's
agreed.
Like a neat little tidy ending. This is a serious issue that they're negotiating.
And these are the Bears. They don't do optics well. And this is something that you described, though. It would be terrific optics for this.
They need it.
They do. Well, they need it. They need to continue the momentum. They have had an outstanding offseason. Going back to the day they fired John Fox, to the coach they hired, the staff he put together, the free agency, the draft, everything has been this way, arrow pointing up. Now it's like, people are saying, this is so Bears. Well, you need to kind of get that idea out of people's heads. One way to do that is to practically solve a problem. And they have an opportunity now to do that.
Got to see if they can get that fixed. In addition, with social media so prevalent, even though the media is not allowed to tweet or put up any highlights from training camp, fans do, and they can also react to what they watch. Mitchell Trubisky has been picked off a few times in camp. Social media blows it up, but is it a level of concern?
No, I don't think so. Not yet. It's still July. It's so early until he's in a game situation. You want him. I agree with Matt Nagy to this degree. I mean, you don't excuse mistakes and you don't want to create habits that are bad for turnovers, but it's practice. And you want him developing a risk-taking mentality. You want him to maintain aggressiveness and you want him to work on his timing with receivers. So it's going to be off with the new group. Not concerned yet.
Twitter overreact? I find that hard to believe.
Shocking.
No, but I mean, David's right. I mean, not only that, you're dealing with a new system, and obviously they've had time in OTAs and in the classroom to work on that, but now you're going live, and it's not quite, obviously, regular season or even preseason speed, but it's different when what they've been doing. Some mistakes are going to happen. It's not a concern yet. I mean, maybe by preseason game 3, if he's still making bad mistakes or bad reads or timing's off, then it's a concern, but not right now.
All right. We finally have a Corey Crawford sighting. He's on the stage at Blackhawks convention, but will he be on the ice when training camp starts? He's not 100% sure. Plus, Blackhawks' slogan is one goal. So what exactly is that goal this season?
Join NBC Sports Chicago at Wrigley this summer for Authentic Fan Nights, featuring free giveaways, cheer cards, and live broadcasts in Gallagher Way before the game. For more information, including dates, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF.
And there he is, Jabari Parker, the pride and joy of Simeon High School, Chicago's own, and he is home as the Bulls continue to upgrade their roster in a big way with a lot of young talent. Mark Schanowski is with me, and Jabari Parker is in our studio. You see that picture. How does that make you feel knowing, you wore number 25 at Simeon, you were the best player over there, you're on this great team, and now you're a Bull?
Yeah, I represent a long list of guys that were successful, and I do represent the number 25 when I was at Simeon Career Academy. Most importantly, I'm here, I'm back home, and I'm excited.
You look at your team, there's a lot of talent here. How do they blend it together? Where do you fit best? At the three?
Well, I think the forward is just no tag to it. It's pretty much like all in one, interchangeable. And 3-4 is pretty much where I'll be.
Yeah, you know what Fred likes to do with his offense, he likes for whoever gets the rebound to get a quick outlet and push the ball in space. And then they like to run a quick high screen and roll in transition. So, you know, the old school designations of positions maybe aren't as important because everyone has to be able to do a little bit of everything, I think, in this offense.
Yeah, especially what he emphasized, like 4-on-1 offense. It's what we're going to try to have. And me being on the perimeter, be able to create, make plays for other guys too.
And you've got a number of creators. You've got Chris Dunn at the point. You got Zach LaVine on the other wing. You can catch the ball over on the outside. You can initiate as well by penetrating into the paint and dish to one of those shooters. And you got a guy like Markin and a 7-footer who can really knock down those threes.
Yeah, that's exciting to look forward to. A lot of guys who have a multiple range of skills. Mm-hmm. And being along a youthful group, too, is going to be so fun and energizing.
I don't want to get into the whole defense thing. Let me just tell you this. If you played for Rob Smith, you play defense. Because yeah. You don't play. Yeah. They don't care if you're Jabari Smith, Jabari Parker, Jabari Jones. He ain't playing if he don't guard for Rob Smith.
Yeah. But, I mean, whatever we did over there was pretty successful. So I just try to do the same thing.
What was it like being part of that to Duke and then to come back here? I mean, you were at two. You know, Simeon is as good a high school program as there is in the country. Duke is as good a college basketball program. What's it like being part of, like, the Beatles at two different places?
Yeah, you know, I represent schools with great history and come from a long lineage of history, and I'm proud to be a part of those two programs. And now being on the Chicago Bulls, hopefully I fit into that, too, where we can make something happen.
Jabari, you were the second pick in the 2014 draft, and people at the time were making comparisons to Carmelo Anthony and other high-scoring players in the league, guys that, you know, really transcended positional designations, not purely a three or purely a four, just a guy who could score in a lot of different ways. You've had to kind of readjust with the two ACL injuries. How has that impacted your game? Has that changed you at all from the guy that first came into the league to the guy you are now?
It only made me better, in my opinion, just because of a mentality standpoint, I'm a lot more mature the way I take care of myself. And then from a playing aspect, I only have one life to live, and that's what I try to keep in mind as I go out there and try to give it my all. So physically, nothing's really changed, but I say my numbers look better when I think about it.
You've improved your three-point shooting every year you've been in the league. The three ball has really taken on a life of its own. It's become so important in today's NBA. Is that something that every player who wants to be, you know, an impact player in the league has to add that to his arsenal?
Yeah, and I would just picture it back in the 80s, you know, when the game was more up-tempo. That's how our game has transitioned. A lot of versatile people on the floor. I do a lot of studying of the game, and it's definitely going back to that day and age.
We had Derek on this show a few times. I saw Derek play as a freshman in the Frost Soft game at the United Center. I watched him play in my events. I watched Derek play all the way through till his time now. He's a Minnesota Timberwolf. Mm-hmm. You guys have a unique relationship. You know, Derek had these highs and lows with Bulls fans. What is your relationship? Like, take a look at that picture right there.
Yeah.
I mean, look at those little kids. No. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm more the little kid.
Talk about your relationship, because you know him. You know, the fans will see he didn't come back from this, or they'll say that. You know him in a different way. What is he like, and what is your relationship like?
Well, that's my hero at the end of the day. That's somebody I look up to. And he did so much, especially from a kid from the south side of Inglewood and where he is right now. You know, he's the guy who lived the American dream. And there's no better way to follow a person like him.
When you got injured, he'd gone through it. He'd gone through multiple stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that a guy you leaned on a lot to try and get through the highs and lows of an ACL rehab?
Yeah, I would say him is one of them. And then also, I'll rely on my faith too, because a lot of what I'm doing right now and living my life hasn't been done. So it's just intertwined with faith and just having the best mentality, attitude.
Cap, you know, another great player in Chicago prep history is Juwan Howard. And he's been a mentor to Jabari ever since he was going to Juwan's camp. Mm-hmm. And I know that's impacted the fact that, you know, he's going to have the camp later this week, because Juwan really showed you what the importance of giving back.
Yeah, Juwan was definitely the trailblazer in my life to inspire me to do this, and that's why I want to have my charity. My charity work is doesn't come with a price tag. You know, just offer your time and have the kids come, and that's more important than, you know, putting a price tag on a camp.
I remember watching your dad play, Sonny Parker from Farragut. Sonny Parker was a beast,
yes,
man.
He was.
That guy could play. What, you and he battle in the driveway back in the day, and when did you finally beat him?
Oh, yeah, my dad, he gave up the game pretty early, especially as soon as I started getting older. He started getting older, too. And that's why he knew he didn't stand a chance.
I can't beat that guy anymore. I'm done.
Right.
By the way, the Jabari Parker Family Summer Basketball Camp, Thursday and Friday. And it should be a lot of fun out there and a chance for you and your family to give back.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not just like my immediate family. It's everyone around me. They're included, and that's my family, along with the campers. I have former campers that are going to be in attendance. So we're just going to make it an annual thing for years to come.
Remember, Juwan's camp, they used to have an academic component to it where you had the computer set up. Are you going to be doing something like that too?
We're going to do some life skills, non-basketball related things, mm-hmm. more media, training kids how to give interviews and take interviews too. So we're going to try to do that.
It's interesting seeing the next generation of stars. I saw some video yesterday of LeBron James' son throwing down a dunk on a bouncing the ball off the court, and then Dwayne Wade's son, Zaire, is a highly rated prep player. It's kind of weird how the circle of life goes and all these players are starting to follow in their father's footsteps.
Yeah, and I'm one of them too. I guess it runs in our DNA.
Is there any trash talk that goes on, whether you're playing summer ball, you're at practice with then the Bucks, now the Bulls, where Chicago basketball is the best? No, Detroit basketball. No, New York is the best. Because for me, I've been around a long time, man. I think it's Chicago far and away.
Yeah, Chicago far and away. I think L.A. might have a little bit of contender against us, but I take Chicago over everybody.
Yeah. You know, I was telling Jabari after the news conference that, you know, he's wearing number 2. He wore number 12 in Milwaukee. And I said, you know, it's interesting because I worked for a number of years with Norm Van Leer doing pre- and post-game.
He's my old radio partner.
And Norm really felt like they should have retired as number 2. He took a lot of pride in what he and Jerry Sloan accomplished back in the playing days. And I know there was a movement for a while that let's retire number 2. And he used to talk about the fact that a lot of guys didn't have a lot of luck with that number. You know, you go back in the day, you got Rory Sparrow and Dennis Hobson and Brad Sellers. Randy Brown, I think. No, Randy Brown wore 0. But, you know, guys that had worn the number, mm-hmm. you want to start a new tradition with that number and bring back the
pride that Norm. So then when he gets it retired, they can also say,
yeah,
Norm.
Yeah, it could be Norm and you, right?
Yeah, I don't know about all that, but I'm going to just do my best. That's all I can do.
Well, it's going to be interesting with Wendell Carter. Obviously, mm-hmm. Lauri Markkanen's been a beast here in his first year. You, Zach LaVine, got a chance to have a really good front court. And the East, some guy named James is in L.A. now. East is open, man. You got a chance to get the playoffs.
Oh, the East is never easy. You still have contenders like the Celtics, got Philadelphia.
Toronto.
Toronto, Brooklyn even re-upped, so it's going to be tough. We're going to see how it goes.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Right, best of luck. And again, they'll have their camp coming up. That is a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Have a wonderful evening. We'll see you right back here for a 5:30 start tomorrow.